Listen to her all month or longer. Hello, this is William Fink, and this is the Christogenia European Fellowship Forum. It is Thursday, March 3rd. I don't believe how fast the calendar is moving. 2011. I don't have a whole lot to present today. It's Saxon Messenger site, as you know, is geared towards people in Europe and the awakening of our brethren there, who I don't know. It's I don't think they seem to be behind the awakening of people in America. There's a lot more Christian identists in America. That there are a lot. I think a greater population of a greater percentage of the population in Europe are actually searching for answers. They're just finding the wrong ones. Most of them are white nationalists and pagans. There's nothing the Jew loves better than a white pagan, because Jews are safe with white pagans. The enemies of our God can maintain their false identity indefinitely in the presence of white pagans. But while the signal defining crisis of this time that we're living through in America, of course, it's the elevation of the Negro and the invasion of Mexicans. In Europe, it's different. It's the Muslim invasion, the invasion of Islam and the Arab and Negro peoples from Africa and the Middle East and the Turks. And they all share that common religion, and they're a great danger to Western civilization. I would like to expand the Europe Today section on the Saxon Messenger, and I really it has a lot of YouTubes. I posted a few this week. Taya had shown me some had sent me links to some of them, and especially the takeover of the streets of Paris by Muslims for Friday prayers, and how the authorities aren't countenancing that at all. And it's just ridiculous. We're losing our culture to these Muslims if we don't stand up. Of course, we know that we're not going to have a solution until the return of Yahshua Christ himself, but that doesn't mean that we can't try to awaken our brethren and point these things out to them. That's of the utmost importance, to witness to our brethren in this evil time. I would like your help in if you see any articles on the Islamization of Europe that are of a more local flavor than the typical YouTubes, I would really appreciate it if you sent me the links to them, and I'll try to get them posted or linked or duplicated in the Europe Today section at the Saxon Messenger, and I would appreciate that. Aside from that, I don't have a whole lot today to offer. I've been really busy with preparations for this Revelation series. I'm open to talk to that, to talk about that, or about anything else you would like to talk about. The Revelation series has technical work at Christogenia also have really tied up my time. Hello, Bavarian man, Dorcas. Hello, Sussex man. Hello, Taya.
Hello.
How are we doing today? Hi. Hello, Icelander. I know you don't want to talk, but I'll say hello anyway.
Yes, he's nice to see you.
Yeah, right. He's the coldest man of us.
He's the youngest Christian identist in Europe. He's a fine young man.
Good, good. Yeah, 17 he was, I think, about. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
I enjoyed Monday evening to Ghania when you were dealing with, and because...
I'm sorry, Taya, you're cutting out just a little and you're sounding like you're far away again.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what I'm... Is that...
There we go. There we go.
Oh, do you know what I did? I had the speakerphone over my head.
Yeah, that doesn't
work. Apologies.
You don't have to apologize.
At least I had it switched on this time.
All right.
Right. Yes, back to Monday. Salvation. I thought that was really good because... I've come into Christian identity with a lot of baggage, I suppose a lot of people have, and particularly regarding that subject. And even though I could go along with everything you said, my mind sort of went to Romans 10 in the King James Version, which is sort of burned into my memory banks, you know, what's left of them, about Paul saying, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So that sort of rang a bell. I thought, So I then went to, I'm just saying this was like a stepping stone. So I then went back to it and looked at the, and remembered, of course, that the word for salvation, or that is translated salvation, is actually preservation, isn't it? And that makes the whole thing totally different. So that just sorted it out for me. So, you know, thank you for bringing that subject up, because it's so different from what I'd been taught and what most Christians are taught.
But while they confuse people, the biggest problem Christians have is the idea of judgment. And the Romish Catholic idea of judgment, it is designed and taught in a manner that they can control you. Once you understand that your persona is a spirit from God, and all those spirits from God are going to exist indefinitely.
Yeah.
And in this life, in this body, if you do the will of God, you hope to be preserved in this body, in this life. If you don't do the will of God, you expect to be punished. That's why Paul says, destroy the body so that the spirit can live in the day of Yahweh. That's why he said that. The spirit is not the body. The body is a vessel for the spirit. Do his will, seek his will, and you'll have mercy in this life here.
Yeah.
And otherwise, all our people, or his people, after they went into captivity and lost sight of who they were, up until they received the Christian message again, would have been lost, wouldn't they?
Well, of course, the church model of salvation in Jesus Christ is distorted. I mean, yes, sure, salvation, the salvation of our race, the preservation of our race is through Christ, yes. But each of us are spirits from God. Paul says we're sown a physical seed and raised a spiritual seed. That spirit, as long as we have the DNA of Adam, it is an intrinsic part of our DNA. It grows with our physical body. And it exists forever. Now, God himself can, as Christ says, destroy that. But would God destroy a repentant sinner? And will any one of those spirits, when they meet their maker, be unrepentant? You know, that's
not in his presence.
But, well, right. When you get to that point in your existence, I think that every single one of us would repent. That's why Paul says some men send their sins ahead to the judgment. Mm. We've already repented. That those who recognize the sovereignty of God, the sacrifice of Christ, and realize that we've screwed up and that we're only, you know, human, and we're only men, and therefore we're prone to screwing up, and we humble ourselves before God and before his law, which we have to recognize as divine and supreme, that then we've sent our sins ahead to the judgment.
Mm. Yeah. The thing I found most comforting was the fact that all Israel is going to be saved.
Well, right. There's nobody excluded.
No, I found that most for my own family's sake, for instance, and they will all be given another chance to learn, you know.
Well, absolutely. Now, being, you know, Eli doesn't like to teach this, and he'll probably deny it, and that's, I can understand, and I never fought with him too much over that, and this is why, it's because he's really replying to the antinomians, the people who were claiming that the law is done away with, right? Even though all Israel is to be saved, we don't do away with the law, we recognize that the law is just and good, and that we are screw-ups. That's what Paul's teaching. And we seek, good Christians who recognize their redemption, seek to establish the law.
Yes. Yeah.
So the difference between me and Eli, I think, is that Eli oversimplifies the message in order to address the antinomians, right? But I never really blamed him for that, so I never really argued with him on the programs about that we did together. And that's why, because I understood where he was coming from. But basically, all Israel will be saved. There's no doubt. There's no exception.
Mm.
And that is so exciting.
Yes, I think so. Yes. I mean, we're only the front runners, aren't we? We are.
Yeah. That's what you know. Front runners, yeah.
Front runners.
But, well, you know, the people who are aware and who have this knowledge, our responsibility is to be his witnesses. Ye are my witnesses.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
That's paramount. That's paramount. That's the number one commission I believe we have after keeping his commandments and loving our brethren.
And he must have a base as well of people to when he returns.
Dorcas, you know, Paul, Yahweh gave Paul a message in it's recorded in the book of Acts, informing him to stay in Corinth and not to fear anything because he had much people in this city. Now, those people weren't Christians.
No.
They weren't Christians. He already had them in that city. They weren't Christians. They didn't hear the gospel. That's why Paul was there, to bring them the gospel.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he already had much people in that city. The whole church idea of becoming a Christian through an expression of faith is just a lie.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's so that they can bring you into their fold and have control over you, and be able to impose on you what your behavior should be.
There is a scripture that says he knows the people who are naturally his. There are some people who are natural, and that must be who he's referring to in Acts.
Well, the people without guile, the true children of Israel, but the true people of our race who that they may not have ever heard of Christ. I mean, there's a lot of great Christian people in that I met during my life who didn't even know they were Christians, but they acted it. They acted it,
right.
and didn't even care about religion. They're turned off from the church. They're turned off from all of this phony stuff you see on TV and in the pulpits. They're turned off from the message, but they live their lives, and they're better than a lot of the people professing Christian identity I've met that have all the words and none of the actions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people of God in this world that just don't know it. That's part of the message. That's it.
Yeah.
Mm. By their fruits you know them.
Yeah, by their fruits, yeah. Mm. That's right. These fruits can be negative as well. When I'm thinking about my own family, and then I'll see the negative way that they have been handling Christianity in general, they said, no chance for them. No way.
Well, right, but how do they live their lives? Do they take care of their brethren? Do they live decent lives, meaning that they're not caught up in the vices of the world? Yet, you know, it's how we live our life that counts more than what we profess with our mouths.
Well, if you're thinking about homosexuals, you're automatically on the wrong side.
Well, right. We all have that problem because all of our families have been adversely affected by this Jewish culture.
Right. They're right. And that's what it is. And they want to go on with it. And they deny whatever you say. Yeah, they are warned. Whatever you did, they say no. Okay, then they are for the hell.
Well, it's a hard thing to overcome. Is the world right?
And
those people will be punished in the body, but their spirits will survive.
Yeah, but that's what I always say: a spirit to eliminate a spirit. How would you do? If it would be possible to eliminate a spirit, why is Satan then still there? I would have eliminated him immediately. But to my opinion, spirit you can't destroy, you can't get rid of it. You can stop it somewhere or put it in a corner, but to destroy it, to make sure that it doesn't exist anymore, I think it's not possible. How is that?
Well, if somebody dies, the Almighty might be cutting them off at a certain stage to protect their spirit.
He's keeping the spirit. That's correct. But it is not destroyed. If the body is empty, it's pity for the body. But the spirit is there. You can't destroy it. Or am I wrong? I like to hear it.
Well, it's absolutely true. That's why Christ says, "Don't fear them who can destroy the body, but fear only him that can destroy the spirit."
Right. Yeah. And that would basically also involve that the spirit of everybody was there always, and he's planted in a body, and we have to use it, and we have to use it in the proper way. So I see it. If there is anything better to think about, okay.
Well, it has to be activated by the Almighty.
Right.
But what we think in very fleshly terms when we think, he did this, he'll never be forgiven, or he did that, he'll never be forgiven. That's our judgment that we're passing on our brother, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now, we don't have to forgive our brother if he's not repentant. We're to put him away. But Yahweh said he will cleanse all of our sins. He didn't make any exceptions.
That's right.
Thankfully, that's wonderful, wonderful news.
Yeah. But when somebody kills somebody, you don't know why that happened. That may have been the providence of God that caused that to happen.
Yes, yes.
He may want to try you by putting you in prison. But he also used you as a vehicle to chastise that other person or the loved ones of that other person, right? I mean, it's life is a trial. It's supposed to be a trial.
It is. No.
Now, what we seek with our hearts, once we have this gospel message, we should seek nothing but good with our hearts, right? But
That's so.
Some of us get this message and they still want to justify their evil. They still seek, even with all the Christian identity knowledge that's available to them, they still seek ways to justify their own sin rather than recognizing it and admitting it and repenting. Because recognition is the first step to repentance.
Yeah, certainly.
Recognizing that you've screwed up is the first prerequisite to being repentant about it. But there's a lot of men who still, that they'll use certain scriptures to justify polygamy. So they're really justifying lust or to justify some other sin. And with all the knowledge they have, they'd still rather justify their sin rather than admit it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's quite easy to do, isn't it, really? Justify yourself.
Right. Look through the scripture and say, oh, I could do that. Here it is right here. I could get divorced. Divorce is okay. But I'm divorced and I know damn well it wasn't okay.
Yeah.
I know now. I wish I had known 25 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, they had all that in the early Christian church, didn't they? Like the common prayer book, all those laws. When I left my husband, I knew that I could never, I got a divorce eventually, but I knew I couldn't marry somebody else because in his eyes, the marriage was still valid.
Right. Well, that's, you know, you're a noble woman. I mean, for having that attitude. But most women would be lustful and go out and be loose and maybe even get married a bunch of times.
Well, nobody asked me because I had 3 children.
Yeah.
And in worldwide, there was all these lovely young women, I'm sure. They had quite a choice.
Yeah.
But I did have that in my mind. I knew that law, and I really didn't feel free from the marriage until my husband married again, and then I felt free that someone else had taken him. You know.
Yeah.
Well, my first wife that we divorced and she went and had children with another guy, and now she's with another guy, and Jeez.
Yeah. It's sad, isn't it?
Well, right, and that's the typical woman today. It's terrible. I'm not saying the men are any better, believe me, but it's just horrible. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible situation we're in, but that's life in the society of the Antichrist.
Right.
It's the perfect world for the Antichrist. I mean, for the Jews, for Satan.
Yes.
I mean, the laws that they're thinking of now, they're getting ridiculous. A doctor was saying it's easier to have an abortion. There's not so much risk having an abortion than having the baby. I'm so disgusted with it all.
Yeah, that's right.
But, well, we all are. That's the way we're supposed to be. If we're children of God, we have to hate the world.
Yeah. That's true.
But we have to recognize these things.
Even the Archbishop of Canterbury has been forced into making a statement, which he should have done 10 years ago or so. He's saying that he doesn't want the government to dictate who they can marry in their churches. At last, he's made a statement. Whether he'll stick to it, I don't know. You know, same-sex marriages.
Right, but they should have made that statement 20, 30 years ago when it came to and integrated marriages, right?
Yes.
So as usual with established religions, it's far too little and far too late, I mean.
Yes. Any news about the young man that was having the operation in California?
Well, I heard from him about 4 days ago. He was doing fine. I haven't heard from him since, but... Thought I'd let him relax.
Yes.
He will make it.
Mm.
How long was he having a holiday? 2 weeks, 3 weeks or so, or longer in California?
I don't know. He probably told me when he'd be back, but I haven't. It's not in my mind right now.
No, that's right.
It's not in my recollection.
Yeah. Oh, we'll see him back again.
Yeah, Danny will be back soon, I'm sure. I'm surprised if he doesn't. He has a laptop. He doesn't have a good enough internet connection. Maybe he's only on Wi-Fi. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think he's in the hospital, but he also might be busy. He has a lot of family and friends out where he lives. He grew up in California, so.
Right.
Yeah. You know, his father's had property out there for a long time. His sister's out there, so.
Yeah.
You can talk to us anytime, right? Family's important.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. They have to priority.
What else is going on? What else is going on in on your side of the pond, as my grandmother likes to say?
Yeah. She's right. The big pond.
I had posted a couple of those. It's incredible the things that the Muslims just get away with in Europe. I saw one video. I think I have yet to post. I'm not sure if I posted it or not. But the London police were actually fleeing from an advancing demonstration of Muslims. They were fleeing. They ran. They chased them for blocks. It was nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they've been told to handle the Muslims with kid gloves.
The idea.
They were fleeing them. I would have never done that in my career. I don't care if there were 100 of them. I'd have been swinging a stick, I swear.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I ended up in prison. That's the way it is. I mean, you have to stand up for what the law is and for your own society. You can't let people just walk roughshod over it. That's crazy. Once they get used to walking roughshod over your society, then they own you. They own you. Yes. They control you. They're in full control.
Mm.
Yeah. They're in full control until the British army walks down the street and shoots them all.
Yeah.
I can't see that happening.
Evidently not.
British army.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sussex man.
I said there was in the paper today that 10,000 frontline troops in Afghanistan are going to be sacked. And then talking about the police also, if they don't agree to their salaries being reduced, a lot of them will be sacked as well.
Yeah, reduce the salaries of the cops that are running away from the Muslims.
And, not to mention all the, you know, the others they reckon to be coming in from Tunisia and Libya. I believe a lot have already landed in Italy and Malta.
Well, that was a next thing I wanted to ask, is if you had any experience with the threat of the flood of Muslims from these demonstrations, if that was a real threat.
Yeah, well, I mean, they would go to the one of the Mediterranean states first, and no doubt everybody would tell them how good the benefits are in the UK, so they'll be making their way here.
Who's that, Chris? I didn't quite.
The Libyans and the Tunisians,
yes,
and the Egyptians.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I've got, you know, I feel that this is all stirred up because if all they start going in other countries, the globalization will take place a bit quicker. The mix-up will, you know, take off. I don't know whether I'm wrong or my feelings are wrong about that. But it's certainly mixing up people again. Maybe they want people to be countryless.
Well, of course they do. That's the international Jew. He wants us all to be international.
Yeah.
He wants a world with no borders. That's been their goal for since the dawn of time. Since Yahweh divided the lands of Adam amongst the nations, the lands of the old world amongst the children of Adam, Deuteronomy 32:8. The Jew has resisted borders and has tried to break them down.
Anyway, according to the EU regionalization program, we here in the southeast, we're part of France, the part of the Calais province.
That's
so
we'd right.
probably yeah. be flying French flags yeah. here, see?
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. They ignore the English Channel.
Yeah, the Channel.
Yeah.
And it's the same with some of the roads. The roads from the continent have got a particular designation, which we don't use over here. But on an EU map, those roads come across the channel and into this country with that same designation.
Wow.
Really?
It's all about destroying national boundaries. Even though it's an island, we've got such obvious boundaries.
Yes.
Acts chapter 17, God... Yahweh our God, he created the boundaries between nations and determines the times appointed for them.
Yes.
And Christians just don't realize that.
This week a high court in Britain said that this was no longer a Christian country, therefore Christian values need not be taken into account, and they decided in favour of a homosexual situation. I can't quite remember what it was, but
it was two people wanted to adopt.
Oh, that was it. Yes, thank you. Yeah. Can you imagine anything more disgusting and risky to the child than two homosexuals adopting children?
And it's been going on here for years, right? And the media is lying to people and saying that these are normal, healthy families. It's crazy, and people are believing it. It's absolutely evil.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And in our 2001 census, there were 39,000 couples cohabiting of the same sex, which is less than 0.5% of our population. And yet, in the name of all of those, that very, very small number, all this legislation is being ramroded through.
So I wonder what the 2011 census will be then. It's next month, isn't it? Or is it this month?
It's March, I think.
And we've got to put other things in now. We've got to...
You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to return it.
Ah, it's not compulsory.
Oh, it's a bigotry, but you don't have to do it.
Right.
I'm not going to fill mine.
Yeah.
Never thought of that.
I would just keep throwing it away. Yeah. That's what I would do.
They are so incompetent, you know, that they would find it very difficult to nail anything down.
Yeah, well, they hire, if it's anything like America, they fill all those jobs with Negroes and other third world peoples that can't even read and write English.
Yeah. Even our immigration department here is full of immigrants, and therefore, of course, they let even more of them in.
Of course.
It's so sickening. I can't believe it.
It's the same way here. The Border Patrol is full of Mexicans, and the immigration, the INS is full of immigrants.
It's the usual thing. Signs of the end.
Oh, well, absolutely.
By the way, June sends her apologies. She's got her laptop back, but there's been a mix-up with her email address. It got it down as Jane. James instead of June James, and she couldn't get into TeamSpeak, so whether that's affected by the password or something else that's happened, I don't know.
She
came down actually last time. It was on the day of your last Eurocall, and of course a bus was late, so that's why I never got on.
Well, I hope she's doing well anyway, Sussex man.
Yeah, well, she's getting to grips with her emails. Once she gets the that sorted out, she should be okay.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to install one of those counters for emails like they got for the deficit. Because I can't do them.
Does it require your email address? I can't remember.
No, TeamSpeak doesn't require anything.
Oh, right. Yeah. So a wrong email address shouldn't be affecting it, then?
I would hope not. I think it would probably be operator error.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But we have to get her over the learning curve, right?
Yeah, well, she's got the icon there, but when she clicks on it, she said nothing happens. Maybe she's doing a right click instead of a left click or something, I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, TeamSpeak should not be affected by anything. I mean, as long as your internet connection is hooked up.
Yeah.
You know, it would be affected by that if you weren't connected to the internet.
Yeah. I spoke to Michael Parker. He said he was in last time, and I think he said if he's got time, he'll be in this one.
Right. A bit later on.
Oh, right. It's early yet. Some of them never make it till 2 o'clock anyway, but that's all right.
Yeah.
I myself will be disappearing at just after 7. I've got another meeting I've got to go to. Unfortunately, it came on today, so I'll be disappearing about 7.
Okay.
But, well, we're just happy to have you here, so.
Have you got your new high-speed line in yet, Bavaria Man?
Optimist. I couldn't believe it myself that it would be on March being fixed. Winter time it's here, and I thought, that's crazy, they will never make it. And indeed, over the last months I haven't seen anybody working on the line in the ground here. And I asked here at the municipality, and they said, no, indeed, it is delayed until May. I said, that's what I was expecting. But now, weather, it's a few degrees above zero, there's no snow anymore, and they could start working again. Well, I don't know. I have to wait and see. I'm just passing.
I think Matthew does need a new line.
Yeah.
I really. It's funny. Or Matthew.
Probably got so excited and pulled the plug out or something.
I think he talks too fast and overloads the telephone system there, the German phone system.
More than
it just can't be all that great. So much for German engineering.
That we hear so much about.
Yeah. I think I'll play up my English side.
So what was the music we heard at the beginning?
Caledonia by the Celtic Women. I just love her. She's the same girl that I like that voice song so much. The voice, I just love that song. It's she's the same woman. I could listen to them all day. I have a bunch of their audios, their videos posted on the Christogenia forum under something called White Entertainment Television.
They're very good, aren't they? That's lovely music.
They're just lovely. They're just wonderful.
Yeah.
They're doing the best, so.
It's different to the modern music. I wouldn't dare call it music. It sort of grates on the ears.
Mm.
I want to be paid to listen to it. It's what they, modern stuff they call music.
Yeah, Celtic folk music is just great. I like to listen to, well, one of my favorites is William Jackson. He's the one that did that copy of the Braveheart theme that I play on my streaming radio.
Oh, I like that one.
William Jackson is really, really good. And he actually did a series of songs. I have to get them yet. I don't have them yet. He did a series of recordings about the Stone of Scone.
Oh.
On Alibernacht or something. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it. or I'd be able to tell you the name if I could thought I could pronounce it right. I think it's like Don Alibernacht or something like that. I can't.
No.
But, well, anyway, it's a series on the Stone of Scone, and he's done a lot of classically themed Celtic music. And I think his recordings can be found in a place in Britain called Lynn, L-I-N-N, Records.
Huh. Lynn Records.
Oh, I made a note of
that. Lynn Records.
So is that a website?
Yeah, they have a website. They do have a website. I've been on their website.
Oh. Yeah, it's a job to find decent music now.
Yeah, he's real good, William Jackson. I really like him. I could listen to him all day, too. Most of it's just instrumental. But most of his music is just instrumental. But it's really good.
You have to get Matthew to give you some Bavarian music, Richard.
Is that like German fest, like pa, pa, pa?
Yeah, all that sort of stuff, yeah.
The German festival music. A lot of that's good.
It's a bit like the Austrian sort of yodeling music.
But my second wife was a Pole. Don't hold that against me. Her father was he played in a lot of the polka bands. He played the accordion, and he was real good. And he had an accordion about the size of a washing machine.
Wow.
And he was a big guy. He was one of those Slavs that was like 6x6. You know, his shoulders were about twice as wide as mine. He could hold that accordion and play it all day. It must have weighed 30 pounds, I swear.
A lot of Poles settled in this country after the war. They have.
Well, there's a lot come over just in the last few years.
But, well, I hate to tell you, but there's a lot of Poles in Britain from the Viking days.
Oh.
There's a lot of Poles in Britain from the Viking days, I'd hate to tell you.
Yes. Oh, really? Going back that far.
But, well, the Vikings took the Slavs and sold them as slaves, and that's why we have that word slave from the Slavs.
Oh.
Oh, yes, and there were a lot of Slavic slaves in wherever the Vikings traveled, and Britain was one of those places.
Yeah, and they had to dump them somewhere.
Yeah. I know the Saxon sensibilities might bristle at that, but that's a part of our history.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the by, I got the new message, the new message by post. So I wonder, we get 4 of them per year, if I'm going to pay. Then I wonder whether I have the opportunity to get the other 3 throughout the year. So I still wonder whether I shall pay or not at all. Yeah.
You mean the Ensign message, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, by post.
Yeah.
The post.
Well, the thing is, we keep saying it be the last because Marjorie's had a bill because they were told they were not to do any more printing. You know, the trust was frozen, and they're still sending in bills, and the printer hasn't been paid, and he's threatening to take them to court.
But why does he keep printing for them?
Yeah. Well, he just despite Marjorie and the others, you know.
Yeah. So
it's a long story.
Yeah.
I guess so, but if I was a printer and knew I wasn't going to get paid, I don't think I'd do the printing.
Yeah, well, what? I mean, he was sent a letter, official letter from the treasurer saying, you know, that if any, the trust wouldn't pay for any more printing because the account's frozen, and that if anybody places an order, they will be personally liable for paying, you know, for paying for it.
Okay.
So it'd probably fall on Orange Street, so they'd probably be getting the bailiffs in.
Well, I had my check returned a couple of weeks ago. I wasn't going to send them any more money, but I thought as you wanted to see the magazine, I must send something. And Roger returned it and said to me, they're not taking any more money, and they might, if it doesn't improve within the next month, they might have to come out of their status where they get, what do they call it?
No, you said about closing the trust.
Yeah, closing the trust, yes.
And he told somebody else that a few trustees were paying for the postage of and printing out of their back pockets. Well, that was a load of codswallop.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know how much the Ensign Messenger has an impact anymore anyway.
Well, this last one had some very good articles.
Well, the last one seemed to be more on the ball. I don't really read it. Just skim through it.
Well, they got more competition now, haven't they?
Yeah. And I thought, that's very interesting. Except I had a very, I'm not allowed to mention names, unfortunately. But there was one, a very well-known one to us. And he had a very good, interesting article, I must say, about it. There's nothing wrong. But if they would have known the background of that man, then I'm sure they would have never written any article about him and taken it in the magazine. I had to laugh about it, but okay. But it was an acceptable.
Oh, yeah, I know who you mean.
Contents was perfect. It was good order. Yeah, I thought so. You will ultimately find out who it is. Yeah. And then I think, okay, I don't mind, but it's a good article.
Well, those sort of people are good at disguising themselves.
Yeah. But okay, then I know that I just keep the financial means in my own pockets and wait until the next time. And then I can pay them for the two. It's £18 for a year, and I don't want to dump it in a black hole.
I thought you said they didn't send you one last time, although you'd paid your money.
Yeah, that was last year, but I don't remember how many I got. If I got four a year last year or three, I don't remember. I have to check that. I thought, it's over, then forget it. But now I got the new one. I said, right, if they go on, I like to pay for it. Then I have to know in advance whether I get four or only one for the price. Yeah, or I'll have to pay... it's £18, and now you can just pay half of it, £4.50. Oh, they will not send over half pounds, so you have to do the full pounds. Okay.
Oh, it's gone up, it was £15.
It was 15, that's right, it's now £18. Yeah, for the subscription price is written in it, so they still, I suppose... that you have to pay. Okay, right. For the time being, I keep myself closed.
If it's paid out to the Ensign Trust, the bank account's frozen anyway, so you won't be able to pay it in.
Yeah, okay. Well, I would send it in pounds by itself in the post.
Well, that's probably what he's hoping. Well, then he can use that, you see.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No. Well, I'll see. I'll send them £5. That's what I can transfer. I can get it from the bank. See what I can do with it. Yeah.
That's the question is, should you be encouraging them?
Yeah, that's it. That's the other point. Yeah. Yeah, that is right. That is also questionable, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's a try of them to see whether somebody is interested and what's the response about it. I don't know. And if nobody answers, yeah, then they stop it.
Could well, I guess they took their website down. I can't find it anywhere.
Uh-huh.
The Ensign Messenger.
It was up. It must be fairly recent because I saw it just after Christmas.
Sorry. Well, I'm looking in Google for Ensign Messenger. I'm on page 10. I found a bunch of handbags.
It's not a messenger. It's message. Ensign Message.
Oh, well, that would be why I'm screwed up.
Yeah, you won't find that.
Yeah.
There we are. Ensign Message. Darn it.
Uh-huh.
It's still up. Well, I downloaded this website at one point. I still have it somewhere, I'm sure. Oh, okay, this is only the volume 4 from last year.
Uh-huh, all right.
Yeah, they usually quite a long lag before they...
Don't rely on God to save the planet. I guess God can't save the planet. He tells us that he would provide a new heavens and a new earth, but I guess he's not going to do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
These people are clowns.
Yeah.
But just I think that the effrontery of that title, I mean... I don't have to read the article. I know what it's about.
Yeah.
Maybe it's their judgment that it's all going to collapse. I mean, let's hope so.
Well, right, but that doesn't have anything to do with the planet. You know, I see the planet as the physical Earth, right?
The inside. I mean, the inside.
Well,
right.
The BIWM is collapsing.
Is it really? That's good.
It is good. They deserve to collapse.
Yes, they do indeed.
They're running out of money.
Yeah.
Really?
Imagine.
I thought they were left a tremendous bequest.
Doesn't mean to say it's still intact.
You played golf with it, probably.
Dear, oh dear.
Golf is expensive.
That's right.
Wow.
They're getting
trips to the USA and Germany and South Africa and Australia. It's expensive these days.
Yeah. You mustn't overlook all that. If you have money, you have to be careful with it. It's easy to get it, but you have to work on it to keep it intact. Yeah. And if you dump it, and if it comes in the enemy's hands, then the money has gone quickly.
The guy that wrote this article here is on my Facebook friends. He's Mikkel Stern.
He's in Denmark.
I should probably send him a message.
Yeah, Smickle. Yeah, Smickle.
he was at the... Bad Tynak a couple of years ago, wasn't he?
Not the last time, the one after the last time.
I don't know how he found me, but he's on my Facebook friends. I haven't spoken to him a whole lot, but he had asked me once about translating some of my papers into Danish, and I invited him to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Yeah. I don't know if he ever did it. He has a website somewhere, but I'm not sure where it is.
Yeah.
He's got that Sentius book on his site as well.
Right, yeah.
The German version. And
yeah.
Because he went through and corrected the German scanning mistakes.
Yeah.
I'm still correcting German scanning mistakes in that Sentius book online. If you go to the sentius.christogenia.org...
Yeah.
And I corrected a lot of them, Chris. I mean, I've been doing it a couple of pages here and a couple of pages there. Mm-hmm. If you go to this page here, it's the Die Stamm der Israeliten und Germanen. It's the page images, and I have right. The German text of each page above the image. And I've been looking at the image and correcting the text, and I've made a ton of corrections to it. I haven't worked on it a while, but there's one page number, page 36, with an asterisk, and that's where I'm up to. But I've made a ton of corrections by comparing the image to the text that's typed in here. That was the scanned text originally. I've made a ton of scanning images.
Mistakes caused by the German umlauts.
Right. The umlauts drive me nuts, believe me. We got to get rid of those umlauts. We got to get these Germans on English.
And also, they have a character like for the double S, you know, like a funny V backwards.
Right. That thing's just crazy.
Those characters used to be in Old English.
Well, I've been sitting here at night, and when I get the chance, when I don't have anything really pressing to do, I'll come and proofread a page or two of this German, comparing it to the image file and correcting it, and I'll be done with it soon, I hope, and then I'm gonna read your English, right? But I don't even know if I've had the chance to post the English. Yes, I did. The English is posted. I would like to. It's all posted on one page, the English, but that's okay.
And then they've got one or two words that you won't even find in the German dictionary.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah. To make it easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, they, you know, like the tribe of Judah, they put a Judah stammer or some other stammer. Well, you won't find that in the dictionary because the word's been put together, you know, made into one word, as they do in German.
Right, yeah.
But, well, when I started proofreading this German, I came to the conclusion that my German ancestors came to America to flee from the language.
Yeah.
Right, it's quite nice when you get used to it.
I think I can't pronounce words that have six consecutive consonants. I just can't do it. How do you pronounce a word with six consecutive consonants?
Oh, that's sometimes difficult. But yeah, like the word ship sailing. Huh? That is Schifffahrt, with three F's in the middle. Because Schiff has two F's on the end, and Fahrt, sailing, that's an F at the beginning. So you put them together, you have F-F-F-F. All these F's.
Well, here's a word with about 20 letters.
Why?
I just put a word in the chat with about 20 letters and three consonants. Three vowels, I mean.
How it happens, they put three or four words together. That's why sometimes you get so many consonants. But if you know, you know, what the word is, you know, the big word, what the small words it's made up from, well, then it's easy to pronounce, but if you don't know the German, well, I agree, it's very difficult.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, when I started looking at this, I just thought it was crazy. I'm sorry, I can't. I imagine my English ancestors. I think this is why Germany lost both wars. English is a much more efficient way to communicate.
It's a lot easier. Yeah. And certainly by writing. Yeah. But that's for the German language. And another famous word is the construction, Bauunternehmer. It's a construction company. That's a Bauunternehmer. That's Bauau. You get the B-A-U-U. That's, if you're coming in for the first time, what is that? Bauau, what is that? You're stumbling over the U's. Yeah. And sometimes I'll find words that I say, huh? What are they saying now? And it's even difficult to me, but mostly you will come out of it quite quickly.
We have that word, Unternehmer, in English. But we call it, you know, but the undertaker, you know, the funeral. That
yeah, yeah.
comes from the German word Unternahme.
Yeah, yeah, Unternahme, yeah, Unternahme, yeah, that the undertaker, yeah. yeah.
But, well, Chris, you might want to look at my German text. It's only done up to page 30 through page 35 right now, and I got to do the last 13 pages yet. But I've made a lot of corrections to both the German and the Hebrew, and a couple of corrections to the Greek.
Okay.
And I, like I said, I'll hope to I'll try to push this next week and get the rest of it proofread. I've been slacking on it because I've had so much techie work to do.
Yeah, the other one.
Because there's also Matthew's maps he sent. You know, I haven't had a lot of time lately, but I have been adding some illustrations, you know, to the
right.
German text.
Yeah.
But, as you say, I mean, it's a job to fill these things in, you know.
Yeah. It's a hectic job, I know.
Yeah. Anyway, if you excuse me, folks, I have to dash off to my meeting now.
Right,
and,
no doubt. You're late.
So, Yahweh bless.
God bless, Chris. Thanks for stopping. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.
Well, the Sensius project at Chris Degeni will be finished sooner or later. But then I'm going to link my German origins papers. I'd love to get German copies of them, so somebody to translate them into German to post them there, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
It's always a difficult thing. I know what the translation work is. That's a hectic job.
Any people from Germany on your site, William, do you
Well, we get a lot of visits from Germany, but I don't have anybody that can translate German that's contacted me. There's a guy that one gentleman who was here one time, but he doesn't, I don't know if he just doesn't have time or what.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably busy with his own life. His name's Bahr, B-A-H-R. He's also a member of the Christogenia Forum. He's from Belgium, and he's talked about translating some of my papers into French. I don't know if he's actually started on it. It's a difficult job to make translations like that, and it takes some serious commitment, right? Rudolf has translated a lot of mine and Clifton's papers into Slovak, but Slovak is... Yeah, you know, it has a limited audience even in Europe, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say so.
not like German or French would have a much greater audience, I think.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But so many people speak English in Europe anyway.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would be better for them even to have it in English. But a lot of people are simply not speaking or quite difficultly in reading or whatsoever. In English, and then I say, what for? You have to be at school, and you have to learn something. Or they're not learning anything anymore at school.
Right, but the hook isn't necessarily the people themselves, but the search engines.
Yeah.
The hook is the search engines, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it. Yeah. I get a lot of hits on Christogenia for Greek search terms. People looking for New Testament Greek passages. And I have the New Testament, and so far I have parts of the Septuagint Greek posted to Christogenia.
Yeah. Okay.
And I will add more to it as I get time. I mean, the entire Septuagint will be there as I get time.
Wow. Mammoth job.
Yeah, because there are, of course, a lot of people from the gymnasia in Europe, and they can understand, or read at least, Greek. So if they are interested in spiritual things, then they like to see the original Greek with where they get it from. And if you can have it for them available, yeah, that's indeed, I can understand that they are interested in it. Yeah.
Well, right. Well, that's why I think it's important to have the German up there is for the sake of the search engines.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and then German people searching for German terms would come across Christogenia, and if they read English, that's all the better.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That is right, because a lot of my colleagues, they were just looking at anything in German on the screen and no more. And I said, man, what a mistake. You better go into the world. Just get the English first. You fool. No, they didn't do. That was always strange to me. Yeah, okay. I was trained in another way. But if you have English available, then the world is open to you. So why not to do? As it is.
But well, you'd think after they got beat so many times in wars that they just give up and speak English. I'm kidding. It's a joke. Poor Germany.
One language will be English, or will it be, you know, the pure language? I mean, will it go back to Hebrew, or will it be English, or...
Well, we can't imagine, right? Because Hebrew is not a pure language. We like to think it's the oldest language. It's not the oldest language. It's clear to me that Hebrew and Aramaic had a common ancestor language, a common parent tongue. You know, Aramaic didn't come from Hebrew, but they both had a common tongue. That's the way I look at that. That's the way I believe it to be. Now, what that common tongue was can be argued. It was probably similar to both Hebrew and Aramaic, right?
Could be, yeah, could be. Yeah, but that is indeed the question. What was Noah speaking?
Right. A lot of people just want to insist that he was originally speaking Hebrew, as the biblical writers knew Hebrew, but that's not necessarily the case.
That's right. That's right.
But we can't take that for granted.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, but that's indeed the question. In what kind of language would have been written the original books of Enoch, for instance? It's the same thing. And he did a lot of writing work, but in what kind of language, we don't know, for there is no original copy.
And right.
Maybe there's somewhere, but it is questionable. How was that? And how was it translated by the scribes of those days? Yeah. That is indeed a peculiar idea, but it is so. Yeah. It could even be so that if we would get the original books of Enoch in hands, then we wouldn't be able to read it or to understand that it's the real original of Enoch. Maybe there are somewhere in a cave, who knows? I wouldn't know.
Well, you never know what great new discovery is just around the corner, but we have to deal with the scripture that we have and understand that. Most people fail to do that, and then they hope for this magic document that they're going to find somewhere that is real short and reveals all truth to them, and hopefully isn't more than a paragraph or two. And that's the attitude of most people. They can't learn the scripture they have. So they're waiting for the magic document to be discovered, dug out of the ground. That'll tell them everything, like taking a pill, right?
Yes.
Easy and short and sweet. But while the real learning really isn't a lot of old, dry, dusty books.
Yes. The Revelation series is phenomenal. Incredible.
Yeah.
Meet there.
It's so good.
I hope I could keep it up.
And what a lot of work has gone into it. Yes.
I'm hoping to make it a book at the end, right?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah. That would be important.
Mm. It would.
So we can order it by Lulu.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
I think there's more rubbish taught on Revelation, and more people are confused about it.
Yes.
So it is really important to have these notes as we go along, and ultimately the final document in book form. I think that will be absolutely great, and it'll be the sort of thing you can give to people as a gift.
Yes, it will.
Well, it's something I hope to do this year. I'll probably be finished with the Revelation by the first or second week of April, I imagine, if it takes that long, because the
Don't rush it.
Well, no, I won't rush it, but it's and Comparé, I think, had the same problem, right? Is as you get closer to the end, and the things that haven't been fulfilled, you simply can't take as much time explaining things that ain't happened yet, right? I mean, or that haven't yet, you know, that aren't manifest yet.
Yeah, it's going really right,
you know. And the scripture certainly isn't so that we could see the future. And that's the way a lot of people want to treat it, right? That they want to be able, that they think they could read the Revelation and tell you what's going to happen next year. But well, that's just simply not true. It's never going to happen that way. It's never going to be. Everybody that tries that is just kidding themselves. But the scripture is written, the prophecy is written so that we can look back and see that it was fulfilled and know that God is true.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes.
It's not so that we could read it and know what's going to happen tomorrow, right?
No.
Even Daniel, I think the only example of that in prophecy is Daniel in chapter 9, where he was concerned with what was going to happen to Jerusalem, and he was given that vision of the 70-week city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The 70-week nation, and that. But I believe that Daniel was allowed that in order that he could record it and so that people would expect the Messiah, because there were all kinds of people, according to the Gospels, in Palestine expecting the Messiah. At that time, I believe they understood Daniel's prophecy, because that's the only place in the Old Testament that really dates the coming of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah.
They understood that as roughly 490 years, those 70 weeks, and they knew that the time was close. They didn't know exactly when, but I mean the apostles, before they were apostles, really, right, proclaimed, "We have found the Messiah."
Yeah.
Yes.
The Simeon in the temple was waiting for the consolation of Israel, right, as Luke describes them. All those awaiting the consolation of Israel.
Yeah.
The woman at the well in John chapter 4 said, I know that when Messiah comes, he will teach us all things. That they expected this. It's three clear examples from the gospel.
Yeah.
So aside from the Magi and whatever star they saw, right? That they were probably, the Magi, they could have been Persians, Elamites, but somehow I doubt it. Somehow I think that they were a branch of the Levitical priesthood in Persia.
Yeah.
I can't prove it. It can't be proven either way, right? The earliest writings about the Magi are in Herodotus, 450 B.C.
450, yeah, okay.
You know, and they can't, it can't be told who they are one way or another from Herodotus. He calls them a tribe or a caste, right? We would consider, because sometimes the Greeks use that word phylos to designate a caste or a class of people, right?
Right, yeah.
Like the Indians do today. They have a caste system.
Right. But, well, there was a class of these Magi in Herodotus' time. But, again, that's 200 and something years after, 250 years after the first deportations of the Israelites, who a lot of them had been settled in Persia and Media, right?
Right, yeah.
They didn't all leave. They didn't all leave to cross the Caucasus. A great number of them stayed behind.
Yeah, they stayed. Yeah.
The Book of Tobit is an example of that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you can still see on these Kurdan women or children, etc. You can just see on their face. They are just white ones, and they are just from the area of the Caucasus. Not everybody went over, but there was no reason. If there is a reason, you go. If there's no reason, you stay. Yeah.
Well, right. I look at the settlement and the dispersion of the Israelites through the Caucasus and into Europe the same way that this country was settled with our English and Scottish and Irish ancestors 300 years ago, right?
Years ago.
I mean, we started out all concentrated on the East Coast and various groups of people that were looking for something better just picked up and moved west.
Move west, right, yeah.
And until, the revolution was in the 1780s, and by 1850, yeah. California was settled, right?
Right.
I mean, gold and sea, yeah. Gold and sea traffic assisted that. But by the 1860s, California was wholly Anglo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most places in between had already been settled, or about to be.
Yeah, from Europe, it's the longest way, so you had to go by sea, or by land, by car, by the horse, etc. And then you have to pass all these Indians.
Well, right, and by the 1870s, 1880s, Montana and Idaho and Washington Texas and all the extremities of the continent were settled by our people within 80 years of the War for Independence from Britain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That reminds me about the little group of people stranded on the east coast of the USA, say about the direction of Baltimore, somewhere there. And it was in 1730, as far as I remember. And there was a group who came from Wales, by ship. And they had a shipwreck. They lost their ships at the coastline, and they made it to the land, and they tried to survive there. And then they were caught by the Indians. And the Indians, they wanted to kill them. And first of all, they didn't understand them, of course, but later understand by means of moving hands, etc., that they were going to kill them. And one of these Welshmen, there was a priest. And when he understood that he was going to be killed, he was so angry and out of himself that he didn't know what he was saying correctly, but he was speaking Welsh. And was making himself extremely angry in Welsh. And then one of these head chiefs of these Indians came to him, and he was speaking with the priest in Welsh. And then the two were looking at each other. How on earth is it possible that an Indian chief is speaking Welsh? And the chief was saying, what are you doing speaking Welsh, my language? Where are you coming from? So the two didn't understand each other how that was possible. And then he said, yeah, that's our old normal language here. Well, she said, your language, that comes from overseas. I said, I don't know. He said, where did your forefathers come from? Yeah, from over the sea. Yeah, from Wales. I don't know, he said. I have no idea. And then he understood that, indeed, there was a group of people who were speaking Welsh. They had the Welsh laws and the Welsh rules and life rules, etc. And he was a member of them. And there were Indians who were transferred to Welsh. How can that be? Very easy. That was in the time of King Arthur. He was in what's today the Kentucky, and the people who were living in there, they were descendants of these Welshmen, and they were mixed and amalgamated with the Indians over the years. So over 1,000 years, the Welshmen were mixed up with these Indians, and then you can get chiefs from the Indians who are speaking Welsh in a dialectic way, but it was still there. So that's written in one of the books concerning about the Kentucky and the Kentucky petroglyphs, etc. And then you can see, indeed, King Arthur is killed there by one of these Indians in those days in the year 569, I think it was. Yeah. But it's the interesting thing that the Europeans were very early in the United States.
Well, I can understand it. Europeans were here at a very early time, but I would love a citation for that story, right? If you could ever come up with it, I'd appreciate it.
Have we lost Bavaria, man?
Oh, again.
I think you should check that out on Snopes.
Oh, he's back again.
All right.
Matthew, I agree, Taya. That Matthew would. You could unmute yourself if you right-click your name and click Grant Talk Power, but you keep burning your phone line up, right?
Right. Yeah. No, it's not the phone line, but I think that you get only a few minutes, say 5 minutes maximum here, and then they disconnect you, for there is no reason. And they see too many clones or whatsoever is written then on the screen. Oh, yeah. Too many clones already connected.
But, well, too many clones happens because I only allow one connection for a computer, right? And sometimes when you get disconnected, the server hasn't realized yet that you're disconnected. It thinks you're trying to connect a second time.
Stupid fools. Rubbish. These machines. They keep connected. What for? I don't want to be disconnected. But I realize it whenever I'm a bit longer on the line and speaking, then they disconnect you. And I don't know whether other ones do have it.
Well, that's that marvelous German engineering.
Yeah, that's a German joke. I think these are these cops, these cyber cops. They are doing that. These hatred ones. And that's what I did with the talk show as well. And I can't do any communication with the talk show, for they disconnect me. When I'm listening to Eli, I can forget it. They just cut me off.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I would say so. So I'm not really too much bothered about it. But sometimes you can see someone who is asking a question, and they say, hey, I can answer that question. But it's impossible. It doesn't work. Yeah.
I was just trying to say, I would love a citation for that story you just told about the Welsh, right? I really would, if you could ever come up with it. If you remember it, right, where you read it.
I have it in the book. That must have been the book of Grant Berkeley. I think it was in Grant Berkeley. And now I have two or three of these books. I'll write it down here, and I'll see whether I can find it tomorrow. And
yeah, I'd appreciate it, that's all.
Yeah, but I can send it by email, but if you don't read the emails or don't see the email, then it's of no use.
Well, I read all my emails. Okay. I just can't possibly answer them because I wouldn't do anything else but answer emails. I can't answer them, so I gave up. I gave up trying to answer emails.
Okay.
If I don't answer it right away, it's even when I want to answer it, if I don't answer it right away, it's pushed down the screen so quick that I just forget about it.
Yeah. All right. Grant Berkeley. And don't remember which book it was. But anyway, I'll find that in the Kentucky. All these pens are not writing. Here's another pen. Maybe it's writing.
Is that German engineering too?
No. Well, the one I have just in my hands is a permanent one, and it's in really, it's a Stadler, it's a German one. That one is writing.
Maybe it's just those cheap American pens that are made in China.
Yeah, that's it. Kentucky Indians. Yeah, Indians.
All those films we used to watch about the trek across America with John Wayne or somebody in it.
Oh, yeah.
The Indians.
Oh, yeah.
Making the circle from the Indians. How thrilling they used to be. Yeah. What a hard life they had.
I lately remembered one of the famous ones is what we liked. It was the Virginian. The Virginian series in the beginning of the 60s in black and white. That was with Lee G. Cobb as Judge Garth and the other one. The famous gnome, James Drury, as the Ramrod there. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's the Virginian, yeah. The old films, yeah. When the Virginian was there, we were going to look. And besides, there was a nice girl, very nice girl, always playing in, and there was Betty.
Oh, wow, there you go.
And finally, the film stopped.
I am at last.
And finally, the film was stopped because Betty married. But there were the famous films, the Ligi Coppia, Grant Berkley took it in. And I think it is in the book, the King Arthur book. That must be the King Arthur book, yeah. Okay. I'll find it. I have the note here, that's important.
I'd appreciate it.
Reminding it, then I'll forget it, so I have to write it on paper. Now we can take care of it.
Well, one of the curse of Americans is that Europeans don't really have to suffer, is that they're part Indian. I have met hundreds of blonde, blue-eyed people that claim to be part Indian. And the first problem I see with that is that in the 1800s and early 1900s, book publishing media in this country had glorified the Native American Indians. And this all goes hand in hand with Rousseau and the noble savage crap and all that.
Yeah,
and they glorified these savages, right? And a lot of young men and women in America, I believe, and there's much evidence to this, to support this, that they became entranced with these Indians and imagined themselves to be Indians.
Yeah.
And once they started repeating it, that they just it just went into their family lore. I really believe that.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people that you but would never imagine to be Indians that claim to be. That now aside from that, there are some that really are part Indian, but usually you could detect them without too much trouble. Right. But I had a friend. And this friend, he's still my friend. He's not Christian identity. He's a worldly friend, right? He knew me in prison for we were in prison together for a long time. He's a 70-year-old man, 70 years old. He's German. He's as tall as me. He's like 6'4", 250 pounds, big frame, blue eyes.
Yeah.
Okay. And his father told them, when he was growing up, that they were part Indian.
Yeah.
Well, his daughter had done their family genealogy. And he's sitting in prison one day telling me, Billy, why would my father tell me that? I can't understand why he would tell me that. My daughter found all of our grandparents and great-grandparents, and they all got off the boat from Germany and Scotland. Well, why would they tell me that we're part... Why would my father tell me that we're part Indian? And that really disturbed him.
He should have been relieved, shouldn't he?
But well, right, but he didn't know any better, right? He just couldn't understand why his father told him a story. And I tried to explain to him, you know, what these romantic novels did to children in the early 1900s and late 1800s. They made great impressions on their minds, just like Hollywood does today.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly.
Amazing.
Right.
People don't think about reality now. They think of the story, you know. Reality is difficult for them to understand.
But if I want to go to the far west, I even don't need to go so far. I think it is about 2 hours car driving, maybe 2.5, up north, and then I'm crossing about the river, the Danube. That's the Donau. Yeah, that's right. And when I'm crossing at the right point, then I'm coming at a place, and that is called Pullman City. Pullman City? That looks like the old train system. Yeah, they have there, when you're going under the wooden framework, etc., you go in, then you're coming into the far west. And there are people who are flipped, I like to call it. They have their normal jobs, and in the weekend, they go home. They go to Pullman City, and in Pullman City, they have their own trapper establishment, or they're in the saloon, or they have the tippie, whatever. And they live there in the weekends, and they have a jolly good time living with primitive circumstances, like the Indians and the cowboys in those old days. and they're very happy with it. In the summertime, a lot of guests and tourists are coming in, and some of them, they come for the second time, and then they're already dressed in their cowboy dressings, etc.
I know.
And they're going to join them. We had it here on I've seen it here on TV. I was so amazed about it. I said, yeah, there is something about it. But there are some people who say, yeah, we have enough of the today's times with all the hectic and all the nonsense and all of this. We like to go home and we have a simple and primitive life. Yeah, okay. If they want, yeah.
So there are like cowboy cities in Bavaria.
Yeah. It's still Bavaria, yeah. It's on the northern part. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they won't have mortgages to pay, will they?
They won't have. Yeah, even. That's right. There is an original Indian. He's living continuously there. That is right. The real tribesman from the States, either from the States of California, Canada, I don't remember. And he is there all year. And he feels happy because there are other people having the same idea.
That's just nuts.
Yeah.
It's it is, isn't it?
Engines in Bavaria.
maybe if you're searching on the internet for Pullman City in Bavaria, you can get it on the net. Could be.
So it's a way of dropping out.
Yeah.
Right, it's dropping out, stepping out of life and going to primitive back. Where it is quiet and nice and...
And some Jew in Bavaria is just raking in the money.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, but if these people are happy with it, okay. Let them have it. Yeah. I'll try it, yeah, one day. If I have time, I'll see for Pullman City in Bavaria. Yeah, I think they have it on the net. It's pretty likely. For a lot of guests are coming in there. Yeah. But yeah, okay. If you can't find it in the States, then you go here. Yeah. And,
wow.
Who's the man? And the man who wrote the books of Carl May. Carl May, that's the famous one. He came from. He was living in Eastern Germany. At least what they did call Eastern Germany. But he was never in the United States. He was never amongst the Indians. But they wrote the stories. That's also possible. Yeah. And Cochise and whatever. Yeah. Yeah. But it's famous Carl May, yeah. He came from here. Yeah. There are some peculiar people in the world. Yeah.
Everyone wants to act out.
Right. They want anything but the truth. They want anything but to deal with reality. They want to just escape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Escape, yeah. It's going too far, and the pressure is too much. Yeah? Tia wanted to say something.
Well, actually, I was going a bit off subject, but, you know, talking about people not facing up to things. I was talking to somebody today, and he said, God doesn't hate. And I said, well, what about Esau? And he said, oh, he said, that's a mistranslation. I said, how do you mean? I think it says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, I said, in more than one place. And he says, no, he says, that word hate has been wrongly translated. And I said, no. I said, Greek mesos means hate.
Right.
And he says, oh, no, he says, it can mean... And then
love.
He says, not loving him as much. And I said, it cannot. And he says, well, you will find if you look it up. I said, just a minute. I said, were you reading the bit after the semicolon? And this was just a guess on my part because I had no idea. And it wasn't until I looked it up afterwards that it did say something like not loving enough or loving less or love less. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I thought, how can you try and, you know, subvert the scripture in that way and take it out of context and say,
right.
Oh, but God doesn't hate and he didn't mean it and go to great lengths in order to do it. I mean, it's not as though it's just in the Greek, it's in the Hebrew as well and also in the Septuagint. So, but it was the first time I'd come across somebody trying to argue like that.
What a stranger.
But that's what happens when you don't understand two seed line.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You know, and they argue, they say, well, God doesn't hate anybody. And
no. No. I sent that article of William's, you know, Psalm 118 to Annika.
Oh, yes.
And she emailed me back and said, what a wonderful article and how interesting. And I thought, well, that's good that I read on it. And she says, God loves everybody. He loves everybody.
Yeah.
There's no way you can get through it, is there, really?
Yeah. There is. Unless Yahweh opens their eyes, and theirs seem to be quite well closed, I just think you're banging your head against...
They're nailed shut.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. It's a pity, but it is so, yeah.
Well, that's why they sent us those videos, which were absolute junk. And it was all about universalism. Yeah. But,
soft stuff.
They've got to accept that we are not on that wavelength and we totally reject those godless ideas.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there are plants here that he didn't plant, so identify them. You're telling me they can't be identified? Yeah. They could definitely be identified. Yeah. That's just the way it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And if he dumps somebody, then he is dumped forever. I think that even some people are having the idea that the brother of Abraham is going to come back. He was burnt in the fire. I don't think that he will ever come back. But okay, I might be mistaken.
Sorry, you lost me there, Bavarian man.
But he was burned.
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
The brother of Abraham, who was burned in the fire. Well, what was his name? I lost his name for the moment.
Yeah, it's the idolater, Nahor. It's in the book of Jasher, I think. But I don't accept that book as canonical at all. So there's a lot of emendations in that book. There's a lot of things that have been added to that book that can be proven are not original. Now, of course, that story isn't one of them. But if you read the book of Jasher, you'll find it. Find it. There's historical references in there that date to about Caesar and the Punic Wars. And whoever messed with the book of Jasher actually tried to make it look as though Caesar, the Caesar's conquest of Britain and the Punic Wars that Rome had against Carthage were contemporary with the Exodus.
Oh, dear.
Right.
Yeah, and that book has some serious problems.
Right, okay.
You're sure?
Yeah, it has to be treated with much care.
It's like going through a minefield, isn't it, trying to learn scripture, truth.
Yeah, if you don't know what to watch for, if you don't have a keen sense of history. You're dead.
Yeah.
You're in all sorts of trouble. Yeah. It's just the way it is.
And that's why. Sorry.
No, go on.
It's so important not to, you know, once you've established something, it's not to deviate and give other people's input. Otherwise, people are led all over the place and they can never come to a conclusion.
Right.
It's so important to keep one's foot straight, you know.
Well, absolutely.
Some slight error here and there. We're none of us are perfect.
Right.
But to encroach and invite others, people's views, to me, is throwing people off the trail. And that's why we've got all this trouble and people not understanding where they're coming from.
My experience was that scripture in churches, this was a long time ago when I did go to churches, was always taught in a vacuum, total vacuum, a vacuum that ignored not only history, but even current events.
Yes.
Well, right, but if God is true, then the Bible has to be history, and history has to be the word of God.
Absolutely.
And it's repeating itself, time after time.
That's because we don't know.
Unfortunately.
Well, I get called an asshole and I get hated by a lot of people, but it's mostly because I reject their pet harebrained theories.
Right. Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
People can't stomach that, so they just resort to name-calling and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
It must be harder today because people are so got so many other things going on. The concentration levels are low. And it's hard today because people are not so focused as they used to be.
Well, that's absolutely true. I have a hard time focusing myself since I got out. That's why, in some ways, I miss prison. That sounds crazy, but
Yeah, that's more quiet.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah. That is so. That's why we have the Sunday, or at least the seventh day, as a day of rest, and you need it. Yeah. Six days being active is more than enough.
I think there's a scripture in Paul. It says the endless genealogies and the never coming to a...
Well, he was talking about vain genealogies, right?
Yes, and the other one about doctrine. I can never remember chapter and verse.
Well, the vain genealogy statement, it's at the beginning of one of the epistles. I think it's to Titus or Timothy, one or the other. Mm-hmm. But to understand that statement, you really have to understand that first, this man he was writing to, whether it be Titus or Timothy, what was chosen to be an elder, a bishop in a Greek assembly.
Right.
And you have to, in order to understand what Paul is saying, you have to understand that he's talking to and for the benefit of Greeks. And if you understand that, then you go look at the Greek myths, because Paul's teaching identity to these people. He's teaching these people that they are dispersed, lost Israelites that have to return to Yahweh. That's the whole thrust of Paul's message. Mm-hmm. And once you understand that, and you would see how the Greeks have their own myths and stories about their origins, and to understand those myths and stories, you have to read the best example I like to use is Hesiod's Theogony. And Hesiod's Theogony and all the Greek tribes claimed an origin, a derivation in one of the gods or goddesses or heroes of Hesiod's Theogony. And that the Greeks had intricate genealogies that showed that they descent from a union of Andromeda and Apollo or something crazy like that, right? Some god and some mortal woman, which I think is just that they were expoundings on the Genesis 6 stories that made their way into Greek folklore.
Right.
All right, and that they had these genealogies that traced them. You know, all Deucalion was their flood figure, and the whole world descended from one of the sons of Deucalion. Deucalion was their Noah, and he had sons, and Ioan was one of his sons, and that's where the Ionians came from. And this figure and that, and that they had these genealogies that where they all traced back to Deucalion after the flood, but then the gods came down and went into this woman, and that's where this Greek tribe descended from, or went and raped that woman, and that's where this Greek tribe descended, or the travels of Heracles, and they had all these crazy stories about where they descended from.
Well, now I understand that.
And Paul's telling that this bishop to a Greek assembly, pay no mind to vain and endless genealogies.
Yeah.
Because Paul knew damn well that they were Israelites or from one of the other Adamic tribes.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Mm. Yep.
Well, people that read their Bible, like Judith said, never picked up a classic and read the classic. So if you don't understand the culture of the time, how the hell are you going to understand the Bible?
I know.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
can't. Yeah, you, the bottom line is you can. If you don't read contemporary Greek and Roman literature and the contemporary Hebrew literature, which is Josephus, basically, right? Then you can't understand the Bible.
No.
You can only pretend.
That is so.
And be taught properly by somebody.
That's mostly. Yeah. Yeah, you have to hear that from early childhood on in a proper way, in a useful way. And in that case, I'm not going to complain. We had a lot of information. My father told him, I learned a lot. That is right. But if you don't have stretches in today's times, then it's very difficult. I can understand that. Yeah. They're just taking away all that from us. For if you were born in Eastern Germany over the last 55 to 60 years, then you lost a lot of information. Because all this leftist rubbish came in, and these people had no idea anymore what was about spiritual things, except for the very old ones. And so the youth lost a lot of information. That's very hard, and that's the truth. Sad and bad. And now they're coming back. They're looking for it. And, hey, what is it? And they're going to ask questions. That's right. Yeah.
I always wanted to go to Germany and research the rest of my family, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it takes time.
I wouldn't dare go to Germany now anyway. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
No. I'd never forgive you if you did.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Well, from here, it's about 4 hours car drive. That's all. Yeah.
I'm going to Dresden in May. So.
What's 4 hours car drive?
From here, from my house, to Frankfurt and that area. Where you
came
from.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Maybe someday. Who knows? Not in this world system, though.
Right.
No.
From Bad Tainach, seeing it, it's northwest. Yeah, northwest of Bad Tainach, Black Forest. Then you're coming in that area of west of Frankfurt. Yeah. And from there on, I think it's about an hour's car drive, yeah. So it's about 4 hours car drive in from here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, so it is.
Oh, maybe someday. I always wanted to go to England, too, but it's probably not going to happen. They'll deport me to Germany. That they won't let me in. They wouldn't let Martha Stewart in. They definitely ain't going to let me in.
I think then you better go via Italy. That's no problem at all. Anybody who wants to come in Europe, go via Italy. They will never bother.
Oh, yeah, Italy takes anybody?
Yeah. Certainly if you're going to fly not to Rome, but to the northern towns and places of here, flying into Milan and something like that, just before the mountains, then you will be quite close to Germany, because then you only have a part of Austria in between, and that's it. Then you're there. Yeah. You can drive that by car. That's no problem. Yeah. In Switzerland, it might be different. I don't know. They can be nasty. Yeah. And I don't talk about France, for you can come in France very easily, but I won't see you coming into France.
I'm not dark enough to go to France.
And maybe in Belgium, if you could come in Brussels, that would be possible, yeah. Maybe.
I'd have to lay in the sun for about 3 years to go to France.
Yeah, yeah. And if you can make your way to Luxembourg, to my opinion, that can't be any problem there. And that's quite near. Then it's about 1.5 hours car drive, and then you're at the place where you came from. That's the closest by. Yeah. So there are some opportunities. Yeah. Anyway, I'm fighting my way further and further, but every day I'm coming a step further by cleaning out here the conference room, and I'm very far, because at the end of the month, I think it's ready here. That would be fine. That's a good thing. Yeah. It looks good.
Are you going to have the a Euro Fellowship there this year?
Yeah. Yeah. In the second half of August, we will have it here. Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's right. Yeah. We'll have that fun. For about maximum 20 people, that will be just good enough. And Mike Parker also said that he came. And there's another one who's coming. Oh, that Michael Green from the Netherlands. He's also come and so on and so on. So,
but Bavaria, man, I think I think it's important to be honest and upfront before the meeting to say that two seed line will be discussed.
Yeah.
Because that came as a shock to the people from the continent last year when they came here, I understand. And I just think honesty and transparency is the best way so that people are not shocked or refuse to discuss something or get up and walk out of the room.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I know that problem. I was there, so I have seen it myself. That were the Dutchies.
It's important that you don't pretend unity exists when it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then there's got to be a basis for discussion. And I think that's so important. And it's got to be mentioned before all this takes place,
right,
before people travel all those distances.
That's it.
Well, right, exactly. And I wish I'd have known that problem existed there last year, because I'd have picked a different topic.
Yeah.
I'd have talked about Genesis chapter 3.
Yes.
I really would have. If I'd have known that division existed last year when I did that presentation, I wouldn't have done what is the Bible. I would have done Genesis. I would have done Shemitic idioms in Genesis chapter 3 and expounded on it.
Yeah. But I indeed discussed it also with Chris, and we'll say, okay, we're going to do it, and tell in advance, what's best, and to talk about the themes in advance where we're going to talk about. Yeah, that's right. That's no problem to do. Yeah, keep it open. But I have contact with the Dutchies, and they told me last year that they would not come to me. because of the two seat lines. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't need to invite them, so I know it in advance, so it will not happen again. But we learned.
But you got to invite them anyway, so that they can't say that they weren't invited.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. That's right. I know one of them rather well, so
I think Judith's message is the best. I think Judith's suggestion is the best. Invite them and let them know up front. It's a two-seed line conference.
Yeah. They are not having a shocking effect. We don't like shocking effects. It's of no use. Well, okay. We'll see how that's going to be. Yeah. Anyway, I have in the planning to have a speech about the God's handiwork. Or Yves handiwork, we better say. And that means about the universe. For I had to realize over the last years that a lot of people have no idea how the universe is looking like and what it is. They know about galaxies and they have heard something, but they don't know the contents in comparison with his work. For the Earth is just a fraction, a minuscule fraction of the universe. And his rest of work is in the universe. That's a lot more. And there is a lot to say about and to show and to see. And as it is my occupation, why shouldn't I say something about it in comparison with the Bible? Well, why not? So that's where I'm going to concentrate on. Let's see what it will be. Now, I won't make it too complicated in mathematical and special physical things. That's not the meaning. It must be lightweight. That's right. Yeah. And everybody else is coming and having something to tell. Let them come. Let them say what they want. Like last year. That was very fine. I learned a lot. Yeah. And from our man here in Germany, who was in England as well, our Wolfgang. And he will certainly come as well, and will have some information about whatever. So it's interesting.
Well, one thing I see, Matthew, thing I see that probably needs to be discussed is geocentrism.
Geocentrism?
Yeah.
The Earth in the center?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
The pro and contra. Well, that's so very simple, and everybody can see it every day. That's the craziest idea. The people who are talking about that the Earth is in the center, and the sun is standing, swinging around us, this is an interesting concept, but when you're observing in the sky, you're having the effect of parallel, of parallax, that you will automatically understand that the stars are in the background and some of the stars in the foreground. And you see them in half a year's time shifting to and fro, always the same trajectory, to and fro. Why is that? Because the Earth is rotating around the sun in its trajectory. And this is what some people will never understand, but you can see it yourself every day because you have two eyes and there are two images and both eyes are not seeing the same image. There's a tiny difference, and that's why you can see distance. If you have that knot and you're a monocyclope with only one eye, you can't see depth. This is pity.
Well, that's why, you know,
in the universe, you can see these effects. And that's so interesting. And it's so simple, you can demonstrate it. We have even the photos of it. So,
well, that's why I'm suggesting it, Matthew, because you're an astronomer, yeah. you know about these things, and explain them probably better. There's a lot of people in identity, and I see it every couple of weeks. I see an email about it, about the Earth being the center of the universe. The sun goes around the Earth. God's word is true because they insist that the Bible tells us that the Earth is center of the universe, but it's not. The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us nothing like that. They insist that where it says that the sun stood still, that means that we have a geocentric universe, which is ridiculous. The Bible is written. The story is given from the account of man's perspective. So, of course, it looks like the sun stood still. But that's our earthly perspective. That doesn't mean that's not a scientific statement.
Yeah,
you know, and these people are all nuts. I think they're nuts, but it needs to be addressed in a manner that's just broken down simply for people why it can't be so. That's right.
Yeah, no, that is indeed so. And it is very simple, but it seems to be. It's not only seems to be, but it's the truth. Unfortunately, that in today's times, when we are flying with satellites and equipment and so on in the universe, that people are not getting cosmological lessons at school. We had it at the Lyceum, etc. But in today's times, it simply dropped from the school. And I couldn't believe my own eyes when friends of mine told me. Said, well, that's ridiculous. Just in today's times, you need it. It's the first thing. I said, yeah. They have other ideas, and it's dropped. Well, I can only say that it's Jewish working. But it's the most important thing that you have to know. We are going into the universe. We are sailing with our satellites round about. We are leaving. We left our planetary sphere and atmosphere. We are outside now with the Voyagers. They are even at the shock bow where the borderline is from the effects from the sun and the planets, and there you're coming in the area and the open space where it's going into the universe. That means in our Milky Way. And there is a shock bow, and they have been able to detect it. So far, they are away. That's unimaginable. But these nice, very, very weak signals, they are still coming in from these spacecrafts. That is a wonder. It's to me still a riddle that it is possible after so many hundred thousands of miles that it is still possible to hear these small beeps from the computers on board of these Voyagers. But people don't know it. Yeah, there are a lot of people born nowadays, they never heard about Voyagers because that was before they were born. Yeah, that's right. They are flying very long. It takes many, many years. And we had the extreme opportunity that from early childhood on, we were capable of living with all this. We had first grip on it. So, yeah, that's our opportunity. And it's very difficult for children. And we have to learn them. And we have to tell them how it is. And that's why it is indeed interesting to have some speech that people can have some idea about it and can see the photographs we have been taking with the telescope here. That you can have first grip, that's what it is. That's what we can show you. That's one of the interesting things. And, well, who knows what's going to happen about it. We'll do our best about it.
Well, yeah, parallax seems like a simple concept to you, but it's not a simple concept to most people, right? Yeah.
That's right. That's right. But it's a very simple thing. For if you're shifting your head from the one side to the other side, you have something standing there. Take, for instance, a candle. Just a candle in its holder, and it's standing there. And you're shifting your head to the left side and the right side. Then you will see that the candle is more or less moving. Nah, it's moving because of the background. The background is stable, and when you're shifting left and shifting right, then you see the candle in comparison.
Well, I have astigmatism, so I don't even have to shift, right? I can control my astigmatism. I can... Yeah. Focus out of each eye by myself, right?
Yeah. But if you have it in the classroom effect, etc., you can demonstrate it easily. For your stick and the background, and you can just see what shifting means, going to and fro, and you can rotate your head, and you can do whatever you want, and you can see the effect. And with that, it's a trigonometrical calculation, and you know the exact distance. Well, that's the easiest way. That is, then you have to have it in front of you, then you can see it. And I will get it printed on paper as well, so that makes it easier to understand what you're talking about. That is a plan to be. That's possible. But then you have to be here, because we have all the materials and instrumentation and whatsoever. I can show it up, and it makes it more easier explanation for what it is looking like. We'll see what we can do about that. I think that's it's a good job. It will be done. It must be possible. Yeah, maybe then they say, after all, you better come to us and explain it to others as well, and then I have to travel with you. Okay, who knows? But that's for the late time. Yeah.
I just thought it would be something nice to have, that's all. Because a lot of nuts are caught up in it. A lot of people are easily caught up in it because they want to believe their Bibles, and they're misled into the Bible says, and then they're pressured into thinking that the Earth is geocentric. What can I say?
Right. Yeah. Now you have to have it on paper. You can explain it if you have it on paper, but you can, where the explanation is for what we can see, what we can observe, and that's why you can say, okay, this is going from here, it's going from there, and by means of that we can have the mean distance, and we know about this. That is all explainable if you have it simply on paper, or you have to have it in the American way on paper, and it's the KISS method. Keep it stupid simple. And if you have that on paper, they will understand.
Or I mean, keep it simple stupid. Simple keep it simple stupid.
But then it works. But if you have no training in such at school anymore, then it's very difficult. Yeah, I'm doing that astronomy from 1958. Yeah, I was about some 10 years old at that time. 12 years, yeah. And I'm doing that, so I don't know better. We have seen the first Sputniks going up, and then the first satellites coming in, etc. I still have photographs of that. But that is from modern days, children. It's unthinkable they don't have it. It's a pity, but okay. We left just at the right time. So we have seen the first transistors. Now I cannot tell you, the first pioneer radio construction box with transistors. That was the first transistor. There was only one in the box. 4.5 guilder. That was so much money. Then my pig saving bank was empty for only one transistor. How would you then create the rest of the radio? Of course, forget it. It was too expensive. And now they throw them away. But we lived through all that, and we have all that technical stuff we have seen in, and that is an incredible thing. But to transplant, to transform that to the modern youth, that's very difficult, yeah.
I want to know if you wore a pocket protector when you were a kid.
We will do that. A pocket protector?
Yeah.
What?
It's an American joke.
Oh, okay.
You're a real nerd if you had a pocket protector. All those kids that were into science had pocket protectors, right?
Yeah.
For their pencils.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Indeed, we did carry on a lot of paperwork and things like that. Yeah, that's right. But there was always something where you could obtain your needs and heeds, etc. I had my first chemical laboratory in 1957. Yeah, and then the year after I started in astronomy. That is right. Although that was very peculiar. Yeah, that's something I may explain. That's very crazy. I was sitting at the primary school, and I knew there was one of these chaps who was from British Indian origin, came from India, and he and his father were doing yoga and astrology, and he explained also something. He had a speech about it in the classroom well after. One day, it was a Thursday afternoon, for on Wednesday afternoon we were free from school, he went to the library and was looking for books for himself. And the day after, he came in the classroom, passing me, and he gave me a book. He said, Matthew, this is a book for you. You better read it and give me it after the weekend back again because I have to return it to the library. I was amazed, totally amazed. And he brought the book, Making Your Own Telescope. He couldn't bring a better book. And in actual fact, it changed my whole life, because there was exactly written in what I needed, how to make a telescope and equipment like that. And I did. And after the weekend, of course, I returned the book. The only mistake in the whole story with our mate, I didn't ask him how he could know that that was my book, the best I could get. I never understood. And I can't find the boy anymore. I don't know where he left, or somewhere in the world. I know his name, but where is he? We don't know. So I can't ask him anymore. But it changed all my life in astronomy and scientifics, etc. Since that time, the one after the other telescope was made, and I joined in the force. But how could he know that? Maybe from astrology, I don't know. I can't tell it, but it was so peculiar that he just brought in exactly the right book. So, in an easy way, the right man at the right place. In that case, the right boy at the right place. Never mind. Yeah. That's long ago. It was in 58, yeah. That's 58 it was. Yeah. That's my introduction for astronomy, how I came in.
That's strange.
Bygone days. Yeah, it had to be so. But everybody must have so its peculiar experiences throughout life.
Interesting, Matthew.
It has its peculiarities. Sometimes you can stumble over peculiar things. But you can learn a lot about it, because when you're starting in that sort of things, then you will automatically come in the rest, because then you have to have your equipment, your machinery, that's growing by the years and by the years, and you're going to work at companies where you have interesting things to learn, and where you get the remains, etc. And now I'm surrounded with a huge amount of equipment. Oh, and that's what I wanted to say at the beginning of the evening. That's right. Because I just finished an instrument which I got from the... And that's something extremely historical in today's times. Nuclear Chicago. That's long ago that that company existed. Because before that company, before I came to that original company in the Netherlands, the name was changed to G.D. Searle. And that's a very well-known company in the United States. And they took over Nuclear Chicago in the end of the 60s. Yeah. And when I came in there, it was 72.
Yeah.
And then I obtained from them an old Geiger-Müller counter that had them on sales. And that was out of use anymore. And that was with valves with tubes in it. So old it is. And I got it and I never had the time to repair it. Yesterday I repaired it. It's now running again after 40 years. Yeah, that was a stunning effect. I think I must repair that device. Somehow it will work, and it still does.
But you had this thing laying around broken for 40 years, is that what you're telling me?
Right.
You know, the other day I said the Germans never throw anything out. I said it last night, I think, on the open forum here.
Yeah, yeah. But it was an extremely old device, and it was so historical, I couldn't throw it away. I had to repair it. It's working and it functions. And it's old. You can open it. Anything you can reach in it. For always with big wires and big transistors, valves and resistors. It's all big. And that's easy. If you have you clamp your instrument, you can clamp it in. There's place enough. That's wonderful to work with. But there are a few only today's times who know about these old valves. They have no idea anymore how that works. Well, I have all the old books. I'll just open the book and I see what the connections are and all that sort of stuff. It's all there. But if you don't throw it away, you have it. And if you have to search now for these old books, you can't find them anymore.
No,
I even used an old book from America. They're the old, one of the radio handbooks from 1966. That's what I got from one of my friends. That's all valves. All these old tubes, they are in. And if you throw it away, it's difficult to get. And I still use it all over the years. And it's very practical. So there's a lot of history material here. Yeah. And for the companies where I worked for, they dumped so many of these things. And I said, don't dump it. I'll take it. I'll bring it home.
I'm sure.
For you will never get it again. And a lot of and some people are asking me, hey, Steph, do you have still that? I said, yeah, just come over. I'll have it. Yeah. That's the interesting thing. That's, it's a pity, but you can learn so much about these old devices and all the instrumentations. But okay, you must have the knowledge and the interest for it. That's what it is. But I was born for science, that's right. But even if you're born for science, you have to know the laws. Without these laws of your faith, you will never make it. And you need to have the spirit. Spirit is also from your faith. So, okay, you have to remind where you got the spirit from and how to use it in a proper way. Okay, I don't mind. I'm very pleased with all that. Yeah. And indeed, there is also somewhere written, I found, that he will need his personnel in the future who has the knowledge of all these peculiar things. For we have to start the world all over again in a completely new way, his way. But he needs his engineers, for he's saying, I found a passage, I don't remember where exactly, I will let them rebuild their own towns. That means something. Then we have a lot of work ahead. So, okay. Just wait for it and seek ye first the kingdom. That's what he's saying.
Of course.
Just changing the subject a little.
Right.
Looking forward to Sunday evening, Bill. You mentioned last week a book that you might be reading from. Was it, Geissner's work? I sometimes get these German names wrong.
Yeah, Geissler. It's Hermann Geissler. I was the woman that had, the woman that wrote the articles that I chose to read for this segment, she contacted me. It was a very brief contact. But one of the things that she did, she must have heard the podcast because she corrected my pronunciation.
All right.
Yeah.
But, well, if she writes me back, I'm going to talk to Brian. I might try to get Brian to interview her, or maybe we could interview her. Maybe we could get her on,
yeah,
right?
That would be good.
Carolyn Yeager.
I found it fascinating. And I found that man, you know, the way he reported his conversations, it was so, yeah, fascinating. I thought, well, if there is a biography or something, or a diary, is it possible to get hold of, or is it?
But, well, here's the English translation. She gave me her link to her little website, right? Well, which I haven't even been there yet, right?
Right.
But Gessler, and what's?
But she said she has everything online.
Oh, right. Well, I must go and have a look. Carolyn. Oh, yes. Well, you put that in the printout, didn't you, in the notes?
Yeah.
CarolynEager.com. Let's have a look.
Eager. Okay. Yeah, to me, it's Jaeger.
Well, I told her I'd put links to her articles, and she said she had all these translations online.
All right.
Okay. Well, this is her website.
Germany? But is that in Germany?
No, she's in Texas.
Oh, okay. Okay, then it's Jaeger. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Her website is really kind of crude, right?
Well, that won't be her forte, will it?
Let me see. www. Yeah. Oops. Carolynyeager.com. I'll see.
I haven't heard that program yet. I'm going.
Well, you must listen. It's so good.
Yes, I hope to tomorrow. Yes.
Homeschooling. She has books here on homeschooling. She might be all right. This gal.
Homeschooling. Yeah.
There's anti-vaccine stuff here. She might be on top of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, somewhere, I guess it's under my articles, maybe. Somewhere on here she has her,
I mean, she's got a lot about...
It's on the My Articles page. At the top you'll see a link that says My Articles, and you scroll down and you'll see Valkyrie the Bomb, Valkyrie the Story, Valkyrie the Last Circle, Valkyrie Methods and Morals of the Traitors.
Right, yes. Oh, this looks as though it might... Oh, yeah. And how am I pronouncing Hermann Gessler?
It's Giesler.
Giesler, thank you.
If the I is first, it's E, and if the E is first, it's I.
So it's the opposite way to...
Yeah, it's really strange. I should know better, too, because EI in Greek is I, according to the Strong's pronunciation guide.
Can you write that name on the screen? Then I can... Hermann Gessler, yeah, that's the Gessler. Yeah, okay.
Well, I was pronouncing it Geisler, and I should have known better because I was pronouncing this as Spiedel, but Spiedel. John Lynch Kaiser was pronouncing it as Spiedel.
That's upside down.
How do you spell Spiedel?
It's on there. I just put it in the chat.
Sorry. I'm not there at the moment. I'll go back again.
For German is Spiedel.
Oh, that way. I see. Yeah.
And the other one is right is Giesler. Hermann Giesler. Yeah.
Spiedel was a nasty bit of work, wasn't he? And then he did so well after the war.
Yeah. This sounds like my dad's name. Giesler,
Actually, the more I listen to the Sunday evening sessions on this subject, it becomes more moving and it's so sad as to what happened, the more you learn about it.
Well, yeah, right. It's the propaganda that led the Anglo-Americans into the destruction of Christian Germany, no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to one of the projects I think I got maybe I could get to 2 weeks from now is to take the is to redo the radio stations and have one station just do my own podcasts and the other station I'll select my 20 or 30 favorite ones or whatever and the other station is going to run the Mein Kampf series, I think.
Good.
Because the other two with Eli, they've been running for like 4 or 5 months. I got to change them. However long I've had the radio programs up, I don't even know, right? I don't have a clue.
But I think if people, you know, it doesn't matter where they're coming from. If they
listened or read some of this stuff from the Mein Kampf website, they would start to look at everything so differently.
Right.
Because once you've been fooled on such a and lied to and deceived on such a major scale, you know, I think it would begin to open their minds to absolutely everything.
Yes.
I wish the Mein Kampf site were a little more popular in identity circles. A lot of identity people despise it. I think that's a damn shame. I think they should all be ashamed of themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of identity people don't like me because I have it up. I think that's just tough.
Some because they think otherwise. You mean that they are totally...
They're sucked in by Hitler being a Rothschild agent, Germany being evil, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
But these, I'm looking now. Some of these Barbarossa ones, we just did have 700 downloads. Damn.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
A lot of them are in the 400s. Then, of course, Germany's Declaration on the U.S. Part 3 only has 31 downloads. Don't ask me why. I think it's because some of them, I recently started putting some of them on my front page.
Yeah.
So, that's all right. Ooh, excuse me. That's okay. Some of them have hundreds of downloads. Some of them have a few dozen. C'est la vie. But.
But it will come.
It's the site gets about 150 visits a day.
Gee, there you were.
The Mein Kampf site. Yeah. I mean, it's this counter, this globe has been here since November, the end of November, so it's only been 15 months, and site has 37, almost 37,000 visits in 15 months. I can't.
Oh, that is good. You can't knock that, can you?
Right. And Chris DeGenia has, you know, Chris DeGenia dropped in this Alexa site rankings over the cold months. And it dropped as low as 112,000 in the rankings in the world on Alexa, and it's last month it's been in the top 80,000 just about.
Yeah.
So it's picked back up in the site. The site traffic hasn't gone down, but yet you know I guess a lot more people are on mainstream sites or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the site ranking drops, but it's actually 80,243 the last 30 days. So it's gone up quite a bit. It's going to get back to the top 80 something thousand, I think, within the next month. So I can't say that for other Christian identity sites that are still dropping, but that's okay. I won't mention whose they are.
I was going to say, have you noticed a big difference in the traffic over the last month, say? No. Have you noticed a difference?
Well, yeah, Chris DeGenia keeps going up, and that's all that matters. It's by far the most popular Christian identity site in the world. It's been like that for over a year now.
Well, that's good, isn't it? You haven't sort of plummeted.
Oh, no, it's gone up since the split.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's wonderful.
My traffic's gone up 5% every month. It goes up 5 to 10% every month. My site
wonderful.
Traffic.
Yeah.
Good.
He's had a serious drop the last several months.
Really?
Yeah. Last 30 days, his ranking is not in the top 300,000, but where it was in the top 160,000 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Now it's not in the top 300,000, but I've been in the top 80,000, so I don't, the last 30 days, according to Alexa.
That speaks for itself, doesn't it, really?
But, well, right, and the I think I've had a good group of people. I mean, the spammers are just killing us, the trolls are just killing us in these forums, right?
Yeah.
But I can't cave into them. But we've had a real good crowd of people in the program, so.
Oh, that's good.
On Friday night.
Yes. Mm. They're there to listen, are they?
Well, I hate to make him a topic of conversation, but he had planned a program called Anatomy of a Coup, which is awfully arrogant of him. On Saturday, the day after my first Friday program. And he had that Friday program, that, and I scheduled a program on Friday opposite him, and that was his last Friday program.
Yes.
He canceled his Friday program after 1 week. So I wasn't going to let him have talk to you all weekend. I just wasn't going to do it.
No, no. So did he broadcast the anatomy of a coup?
Nope, he never broadcast it. He canceled it that week because obviously I had a much larger crowd of people on TalkShoe that Friday.
Oh, I see.
He canceled that Saturday program altogether, and the next week came back with a different topic.
Mm.
I was hoping he would have anatomy of a coup because it would have made him look really foolish.
Mm.
I think he understood that.
Mm. Wow.
So TalkShoe, you're getting the trolls, are you? Is that what you were saying?
Well, we didn't the first week because he was on and they were all on his channel. But yeah, we're getting it. It's only it's two people in particular, and I know who they both are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, you know, it's a damn shame TalkShoe doesn't take a more proactive stance in making sure its users don't suffer trolls.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a very nasty situation with these idiots.
I would rather have my programs here, right? Troll-free.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
But I wasn't going to relinquish TalkShoe to Eli.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wasn't going to do it.
No. Mm. No, it's a way of protecting the sheep, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. It's sad, but it is so. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing to do about.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I think I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
Right. Okay.
Okay, Dorcas, it's been a...
Oh, blessings.
Wonderful having you here.
Goodnight. Good night.
Yes.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bill, I really ought to go as well.
Okay.
So thank you very much, as always.
Okay, Judith.
Right.
Thank you.
That's fine with me, and thank you for being here, and hopefully in 2 weeks we'll have a larger crowd. I don't know what happened today.
That means
I look forward to that.
The 17th, huh? On the 17th.
Yes, I'll see you here on February 17th, and praise Yahweh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Good night.
17. Good night. Bye-bye. Dat is toch even een kijkje.